As we get started, we're going to pick up with Ruth chapter 1, starting verse 19. Al has reminded me that I did give you guys homework, and so there are several characters in the story. You got Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah. Mm-hmm. Which one are you? So Al says he's Ruth. Al says he's Ruth.
Thank you,
Susan. We kind of figured that out. Yeah. So let me clarify this. You don't have to answer out loud. Just kind of figure out where you are in the story yourself. You can keep all that to yourself. But thank you. But what I will say is, I think this is a good area of self-reflection. Because I will tell you, sometimes I've been Orpah. Sometimes I'm Ruth. I see myself more as Naomi. But I don't want the attitude. Alright? So, because I used to have the attitude. Let's take a look at Ruth chapter 19. Let's see how far we can get. Verse 19, I'm sorry. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. Alright. Now, I know some people like to see the notes, so I'll try to expand the notes just a little bit here. So here we go. Now the two of them, Ruth and Naomi, because of course anybody that's an Orpah, they've already gone back by now. Heading back to whatever your version of Moab is. Alright. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem, house of bread and praise. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" Now, question before I get to my notes, because I don't even remember what my notes say now. Why do you think the city is excited? This is important because I've done this study, you know, as part of the feast and the Ruth study for years. Over a decade. Would you say? Mm-hmm. Well over a decade. It's the first time I really noticed this. Why do you think the city is excited?
Someone that left has come home.
Oh!
It's got a prodigal
son. Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole city is excited.
Yeah.
So the perspective of the occupants in the city are, boom, that's Naomi. Is that Naomi? Naomi's back, and they're excited about that. Because, as Susan said, somebody who was lost has been found, has come back. Somebody who left has come back. That's the reason to get stirred up and excited. Had a baptism last week. Excitement. Verse 20. But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi," which means pleasant, I think. Mm-hmm. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. The first time I remember seeing that word is when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they came to the waters of Mara and the waters were bitter. So she said, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Huh. I can understand from her perspective. Got it? Let's see why. Verse 21. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Mm-hmm. Why do you call me pleasant, seeing the Lord has testified against me? Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You just gave me something. And the Almighty has afflicted me. Well, let me just get something straight here. God never told you and your husband to leave in the first place. If you hadn't left, you'd still be there. So we need to stop blaming God for the afflictions that we cause from our bad decisions. That's number
one. They also let their sons marry women Moabites.
Amen, Susan. That's unequally yoked. I hear you, Susan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But God redeemed that.
Yes, because, well, that's the next chapter. The Redeemer's coming. Look at her perspective. Why is she bitter? Because she went out full.
Husband and two sons.
Yep. And all that they had. They were trying to save what they had in the midst of a tough time. But when they left, they went out full. And now she says, the Lord has brought me home empty again. So, here we go. When you look at her in the natural, this makes perfect sense. She's embarrassed. Could be humbled. Embarrassed. When you do the math and you look at the checkbook, she has a reason to be bitter. Bitter because of the past mistake that she may have made that cost her to lose all that she had. Now she sees that God is beating us up because of this bad decision. Blah, blah, blah. The city is excited. She is bitter. Something don't add up. When the young man got baptized last week at Cloverdale, the people were excited. City was excited. You guys don't even know him. Y'all were excited. What does the Bible tell us about the angels in heaven when somebody comes back to the Lord?
They rejoice.
Somebody coming back to the Lord, the Bible says, he who saves somebody, they cover a multitude of sins. So heaven rejoices, angels rejoice, city rejoice. The only one that ain't happy is
Naomi.
Mm-hmm. And in the natural, I can understand why. But in the spiritual, she has a flawed perspective. In fact, instead of being bitter, all I see in verse 20 is praise. A reason to praise. I went out full and God brought me home empty. That's how you're supposed to come back home. Empty. That's how the prodigal came back. Empty and funky, because he smelled like pig. But the father rejoices and runs off the porch. So, is there application today on how we should look at ourselves? Is there application for some of our wayward kids that we should help them? Hey, you're looking at this with the wrong perspective.
Well, to me, this is a prime example of our plans. His plans are different than our plans.
Well, when my plans fail in light of his plans, instead of grieving over my failed plans, I ought to be real excited and happy about the fact that I can start all over again with his plan.
Amen.
But I don't always see that. We have... And here we go. Why is it that she's stuck being bitter? What is she focusing on that's allowing her to have this bitter attitude?
Her
losses.
Her expectations.
Her expectations, but her loss.
Stuff she lost.
The loss. If you focus on the mistake, if you focus on what you've lost, it'll be very, and I understand it. And it makes sense in the natural. It does. But if you stay there too long, and if you focus on the loss, you'll miss the kingdom perspective that somebody might have. And you'll miss what God is trying to do through your loss. It's because of her loss that she's back where she needs to be. It's because of her loss that she's going to have one of the greatest inputs and one of the greatest ministries. You know the story. She's going to be one of the catalysts that's going to bring in the coming of Christ. I get the loss. I understand the loss. But God sees beyond the loss. In fact, you can't even be in right standing with God unless you're empty.
Well, you have to give up something.
Sometimes stuff gets taken away. And then you still have to give up something after a while. Mm-hmm. I get it. Man, I get it. I get it. Been there, done that. I get it. I get it. And some of you in this class have gotten it really hard. And it's all right to be sorrowful and bitter. But oh my God, I have to elevate my eyesight to a kingdom perspective and ask the question, can God get glory out of my loss? Whole city excited because she comes back. Whole city excited because she survived. Whole city comes back and is excited because she's in the right place. Is she in the right place? Is she in the right? She's in the right place. She might not be in the right place in her mind, but she's in the right place. That's something to be excited about. Because when you're in the right place and you start out with nothing, is it God's plan that we still remain empty? No. We can't be empty until he fills us. So, bad perspective. That's why I wanted to hit verse 19 and 20, because I'm going to tell you, I've been at 20, I get 20, I understand verse 20, and I'll miss the perspective from the kingdom. All right. Verse 22. So after she puts a damper on the praise party here, 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Well, just praise God, they came back from Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So it's right around the time of Passover that she gets back.
I love that verse.
Why do you love that verse?
I love that verse.
Why do you love that
verse? God brought them, had them sovereignly there at just the right time for her to go out into the place where she would be seen by her Redeemer.
We haven't got there yet.
You're in chapter 2.
I still love that verse. It's the beginning of barley harvest. If it hadn't been at that point, at that time, then, you know, it wouldn't have all happened like it did.
Are you trying to say, Susie?
Richard's coming out.
He comes. I gotta be careful with these socks I have. I feel like the Wicked Witch when the house landed on her and all you saw.
Well, let me see your socks.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Can you see them?
Oh. Oh,
they're
so cute.
What's that fun? All right.
What'd you say, Susan?
I said, God is sovereign. He doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, he don't make mistakes. Yeah, absolutely.
Air Force Blue, Chuck.
There you go, Brady. They took the blue from the sky. Okay, I didn't. So, Susan, are you back to Susan? Are you trying to say, my dear sister, that if they hadn't arrived at this time, they might have missed out on the Redeemer?
Yes,
absolutely. So, it happened at the beginning of the barley harvest, which means even though they spent 10 years in the wrong place,
amen,
when they got back, they didn't miss anything.
That's right.
They didn't miss the beginning.
In fact, no matter when they got there, it is never too late. And it is always the beginning of God getting ready to do something spectacular in your life. You just got to get there.
Amen. Thank you.
And I think a whole lot of folk start to come in here and you try to get that, you get that Naomi attitude where it's like, I've wasted 10 years. I've wasted all these years. I don't have these years to get back. I don't have this time to get back. I can never get it back. It's all lost or whatever. I'm behind everybody else. Nobody suffered like I suffered. I'm behind everybody else. I'll never be able to catch up. I'll never be as holy and righteous as them.
I'm too old.
You're never too old.
Al says you're never too old. Just get there. Just get to Bethlehem, Judah. Just get to the place where God says, I'm moving in your life. Don't worry about how many years you're wasting. Oh, my goodness. I wish I could tell everybody who's been lost and who spent all your money, spent all your time, spent all your youth. Just get there. It's never too late. You're always on time when you get there. Because he always starts you off right. So, sorry I didn't get to the Father's Day lesson as quickly as I wanted to. We'll dive into that now if we can. But when I looked at 19 and 22, I just said, man, we got to cover that. Because sometimes we can be in the right place with the wrong attitude, with the wrong perspective. Let me make sure I didn't lose anything in my notes. If you want to generate some excitement in the kingdom, see somebody come to God. Let me see if there's anything else. Yep. Leave the bitter, I like this one, leave the bitter in Moab, because the better is on the way when you're standing in the right place. Leave the bitter in Moab, which means you got to go through the steps again once you get there. Leave the bitter behind you. All right?
Leave the bitter for the better.
Yep. Ooh, wait a minute, she just said that. Leave the bitter for the better. I'll write that down. That might preach. Leave the bitter for the better.
And you have that in your notes anyway.
Do I really?
It's
in my notes. Oh, she just read my notes. I thought she had a.
Please, better
in Moab
because the better is on its way.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. I didn't see it in my notes. Somewhere. All right, there you go. Yeah. I remember when I was in college, I tell you because everybody else forgot when they were in college. Yeah. Girlfriend broke up with me, right? And then I sat out there and had a pity party. Just sad. All day. Walking through the campus. What's wrong with Chuck? Oh, the love I lost. There's all pity party. Just bitter. Feeling bitter. I know what I had waiting for me. I should say thank you. Trumping me. Like I have somebody better. Don't ever let me see you walking around campus going, oh, I lost my girlfriend. The love I lost. Slap you upside the head. Something dead is coming. All right. What'd you say, Susan? I was on a roll.
I'm sorry. I said God uses the bitter to drive us to Him. If we never had a problem, we wouldn't need Him.
Let me tell you something. And when the bitter comes, and then the better comes, then you drive back in the neighborhood where she was at and show her the better. I digress. Do I need to leave something in Moab? Am I? All right. Being broken saved is better than being lost and full.
Full of what?
Self. Mm-hmm. Being broken saved. She's in better position in her broke self in the right place than she was full in the wrong place. And if I'm empty with God, He's about to fill me up. That's the spiritual principle. Better for me to be in the wilderness with God than in Egypt with Pharaoh.
Amen.
Better to be going through a tough time with God than to be partying with the devil. Amen. I know. Party hardy. Anyway. I love this. Let me see. Oh, and the barley harvest was the first harvest, but there's another harvest that comes beyond that, and that's the wheat harvest. And the wheat harvest is better than the barley harvest, and so the best is still yet to come.
Amen.
All right. Application for today. Your previous mistakes do not disqualify you from receiving God's best. That's good.
Thank you.
All right, and whenever you get back to God, it's never too late. It is always on time. Any questions about chapter 1? We finished something.
You hear that, Dave?
All right, you can stop that clapping. Let's go. All right, I'm changing the title on this one from Leftovers. Yeah, Leftovers are okay. Yeah, Leftovers are okay. Chapter 2, my Father's Day message for 2023. All right, Susan. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Okay? Got it. Yep. Now, you got to be careful. This is Boaz. There might have been some other ass brothers, too. You don't want that. He might have had a nephew called Broke. Anyway.
Oh, you're too funny.
I know. But I'm not going to crack any more jokes on the ass brothers because I'm still saved and I'm trying to get to heaven. So anyway. let me stay on the mat. I didn't come up with that on my own. Somebody show that. Hey, let me stay on the script. All right. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Now, do you see the steps in just that statement? Do you see any of the steps? Do you see the cross? Do you see the grave? Do you see the resurrection? There's some things that she does here that are pretty good to start your day.
She humbles herself before her mother-in-law.
She humbles herself, not only in front of her mother-in-law, but just in general. She humbles herself. How do we know she's humble?
She left.
Please let me go.
Okay.
Instead of, I'm going.
Okay? Well, that's good. She respect knows. And permission.
And she's willing to go to work.
What kind of job is she going to get?
Very hard.
Yeah.
Taking
leftovers.
Leftovers.
Let me talk to some of the young people we got up in here. Anthony and Luke.
I think I said you know, my child was raised on leftovers and hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
He knows about some leftovers and some hand-me-downs.
You gotta be humble to take leftovers and hand. You gotta be broke to be excited about leftovers and hand-me-downs. I think the problem in some generations is, yeah, ask them to give them a leftover, and they're like, they don't want that. They want the good stuff up front. Don't want to have to work for it. That ain't how God works.
Chuck.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to disagree with what you just said about you have to be broke for leftovers.
Okay.
In my family, we wasn't broke. But we accepted leftovers because we were, especially me, I was humble in a sense because it didn't matter if it was new or used.
So I'm gonna
just happy to get it.
I'm gonna disagree with you on your disagreement.
We need a lawyer here now.
Now, you gotta expand your perspective. Because basically, Tracy, and I thank you for your input.
Okay.
What you basically said, now I don't want you to be discussed. I'm going to keep on talking with her because if you don't talk, then I will. So what you just said to me supports my agreement. Because you said that your family was all right and well to do. But
no, I'm not saying we were at the top, we were in the middle.
Well, you weren't suffering for anything.
Yeah, we never had our lights turned.
Yeah. You want less.
We weren't poor, but we wanted.
No. You weren't poor as far as the checkbook was concerned. But you said in your words that, but we were humble.
I was
see, Al, this is what you call the backup step. It's a moonwalk, all right? That's backtracking all this stuff now, right? I want to disagree with you because we weren't broke, but we were humble and we appreciated getting the leftovers. Trey, that's what I'm talking about. Not only, I'm not asking rich people to give up all their money. I'm just telling them to be poor in spirit. Something's got to be broke for you to put some leftovers on. I'm going to tell you that right now. It doesn't always have to be in your checkbook. But it has to be in your heart.
Right.
Yeah. You got to be humble to put on some leftovers. I'm going to tell you that right now. Some hand-me-downs, stuff like that or whatever, you know. Clarence Carter, patches. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God.
But that's step one. See, I think the problem as Christians is we don't really understand what Christ means when he says, pick up your cross and follow me. I think it means you got to be humble and recognize I've got a need. She is at, I think that's step number one right there. One, she's humble. Please let me go. And she's respectful. She's humble. And she doesn't have a problem with the leftovers. Two, she repents. She could have sat right there. They're all in the house. She could have stayed in the house right there and just been broke. Wait for the handout to come. But she changes her mind and says, ooh, does she have hope?
Yes,
I need. Please let me go because I need to pick up my cross and go to the field and get some leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps if I get some leftovers, perhaps if I do this job real well, perhaps if I go out there and somebody sees what I'm doing, I might find favor in their sight. And here's the other thing that we got to teach our young people to do. Ooh, my goodness. You got to teach them to speak faith. First three steps. Right there in that story. Do you see it with me? Wouldn't you want all of our kids to do what this woman's doing? And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." I had an interesting conversation with my with one of my sons. My granddaughter got her first job. Chick-fil-A.
The one that you that came down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Did she come down in your classroom? I guess she did. Yeah. The tall one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Working at Chick-fil-A. I was talking to my son-in-law, and he was like, "Yeah, some folks didn't want her to work. Said she don't need to work. Said she, you know, she just needs to concentrate on her studies and things like that or whatever." I'm like, "No. We need to prepare our kids because she needs to learn how to work. How to be able to honor a dollar, how to be able to save, how to be able to plan, how to be able to work and go to school at the same time without the grades dropping or whatever."
Amen.
You need to be careful where they're going to be working at.
Kids don't know. They expect everything to be handed to them. They want to have what mom and daddy have.
I'll tell you what I'll hand them if they're in Rice. If they're not in Bethlehem, too, I'll tell you what I'll hand them. I'll hand them five of these. Anyway.
A knuckle sandwich.
We as parents need to be really careful about having that kind of attitude towards our children, because who raised them?
Who raised them?
You know, our kids don't want to work. They want everything handed to them. Why is it that way?
Yeah.
Who raised them?
All right. Hey, I'm just reading scripture here. I'm not trying to...
I'm just saying we can get so judgmental so fast, and part of it can be our fault.
Oh! Well, my kids are all out the house, so, you know, that's y'all.
That's me. I know. I'm speaking. I'm talking to me.
And I like what Naomi says. She says, "Go, my daughter. You got my blessings." And sometimes we need to go on and let the kids go and, you know, anyway. I digress. None of this is in my notes. I'm just kind of freestyling.
That was Holy Spirit right there.
Verse 3. Then she left. Okay, that's the other thing. Don't tell me you're going to cut my grass. Cut my grass. Okay. You can talk to me a game, but I'm not going to believe it until you do it. So she does what she says. Then she left and went and gleaned. Picked up, amen. Picked up, I thought the same thing. And picked up. What, so when you're gleaning, you're getting leftovers. He's rolling today. When you're gleaning, you're picking up leftovers from the reapers. Now, another question. Are you a reaper? Are you a gleaner? Don't say anything, Al.
I hope I'm both.
Amen. Oh, I've never heard that answer before.
I'm still reaping. I'm still gleaning.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. I get that.
Okay.
That's good. See, that's why you don't say anything, Al. Then you take that answer now, won't you?
Yeah, I take that.
You take that too. I thought, there you go. All right. Verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. Okay, Susan, here you go. And she happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just coincidence.
Just by
chance. Coincidence. Just by chance.
Happenstance.
Happenstance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz,
Ooh.
Who was of the family of Elimelech. All right. You think it was just...
What
are the odds?
That's what happened in my life. I looked up.
And there was Jimmy?
There was Jimmy.
There was Jimmy. There you go. Yep. Who would have thunk?
And he saw me and Stacy Green. And I saw Stacy Green. Stacy Green. Stacy
Green.
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 Green. Green.
Green.
Green.
Green. Green. Green. Green.
Oh, I thought
you
said breeze.
All right.
Let's
keep going. We digress. And it's freeze, not breeze, so somebody get Al a Q-tip. All right. All right, here we go. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" Mm-hmm. It wasn't that kind of Not yet.
It was first look.
Yeah. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." What humility.
She's in the back.
Yeah. She's the least of the least.
Yeah.
She's like flipping fries at McDonald's. I mean, just. But she didn't realize that Boaz owned the McDonald's.
That's true.
So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. It's all right to get a water break. Just don't stay in the water cooler too long. Yes, ma'am.
Sort of like the movie Coming to America.
Oh.
In the natural.
Okay, in the natural. Yep, amen. In the natural. Absolutely. If you can get a word out of that trailer, you rock and roll, sister. That's it. Exactly. They were dedicated.
Yeah.
Same attitude. All right. So, let me go over some points here without looking at my notes, because I like the fact that I'm not looking at my notes. She doesn't know who Boaz is.
Right.
But she's in the right place to meet Boaz because of her humility. Mm-hmm. And she already spoke favor and faith into her life by saying, "Maybe if I go out here and do this job the right way and with the right attitude, somebody might see me and find favor with them."
That's true.
Application for today. When we do our job and our work as unto the Lord, it always will attract his attention and will get favor. Application for today. Where did Boaz come from?
Came from the line of Judah.
Okay, that's true.
Okay.
But let's not get...
Bethlehem.
Okay.
He came from a foreign mom, too. I mean, let's see, wait a minute.
No, he ain't come from...
No, he didn't.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He came from Bethlehem, mm-hmm. and he was kin.
Yeah, but Rahab
was his mom.
Rahab was his mom.
Yeah, you went too far back. I ain't trying to get theological on this one. All right. He came from Bethlehem.
He's a family.
Susan, they went Ancestry.com on me. I just wanted to go to Bethlehem.
She's been blaming me.
Yeah, you're right. She's Rahab. Amen. Bethlehem.
But don't you think that's one reason he noticed the more foreign woman, because he had a...
Well, Al is sitting up and go, ooh, 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 so he might have noticed it because something else.
But don't you think he had a soft spot because of his mama?
I think he saw a good work in the field, so who just working their butt off out here in the field?
I don't think he's happy to do it. She's working. Yeah. You want good workers?
Application for today. I don't see too many gleaners today that are excited about what they're doing.
That's right. Mm. That's right. They don't go to work.
I don't see that coming to America. Well, amen. Now they don't even go to work. I can drive down Vine Road and see 10 signs looking for gleaners. Yeah, something's wrong, man. I tell you. You don't know. You're missing your blessing. All right. Here's my point. Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he was kinfolk, mm-hmm. and he was rich kinfolk.
Right.
We got rich kinfolk, too, who comes from the same place. And we're related to him by faith through the blood of the Lamb.
Okay.
Boaz becomes a type of Christ in the story.
Right.
He's the kinsman, or the Goel, he's the kinsman redeemer in the story. We'll see that in chapter 3. But here's the thing. Every time I wake up, I have to realize when I go through those four steps that I go through or whatever, I'm speaking faith because I got a rich father. I got rich kinfolk who still comes from Bethlehem. And if I do my day right, if I do my job right, I always get his attention.
Who notices me?
And I think he notices her because of how she does her job. Because, come on now. We don't even have to get spiritual about this. I want to be able to tell my children or whatever, do your job as unto the Lord and you'll get noticed. It's how you get promoted. It's how you find favor. Come on, aren't there still bosses that still look out there and see? I noticed the way you do your job, even if it's flipping French fries, the way you do your job, if you're faithfully doing your job as unto the Lord, you will attract somebody's attention.
Attitude versus attitude.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I think something says, whose woman is this?
Yeah.
If it's a Christ-type figure, Christ, that's, you know, Christ is, who are you? I don't know you, or I do know you.
Well, it attracts the attention of the Lord. That's what I think I see here. A type of Boaz. It's almost like when Jesus is watching the people put their offering into the offering plate, and he notices everybody else putting in their dollars, but he takes particular attention to the woman who puts in the mite. Why? And it's the faith. Faith attracts his attention. Faith attracts his attention. Faith releases the miracle. Faith gets you started. And when you speak faith, it makes a difference. When you get ready to wrestle somebody, are you scared? Get you an Urban Dictionary. All right. Or maybe it's just, I'm old, so I talk old. Do you know what groovy is?
Yes. I think so.
You've been hanging around Dad for a good little while. All right, man. God bless you.
Yeah, I'll throw it out there.
Hey, in my mind, and sometimes to my opponent, I'm talking smack. Hey, in my mind, you going down. You going to be in for something.
Talking
when
yourself
you,
into.
Yeah, well, she talked herself into being on Boaz's field. All right. Here's something else. The other servants are referring to her as the Moabite woman from Moab. And throughout this story, she's always often referred to as the girl from the other side of the tracks. Don't let what other people say about you or think about you discourage you when you're still in the right place. Because the label is going to drop after a while. She's never referred to in the New Testament as the girl from Moab. She's referred to as the girl, the grandmother of Jesus. Don't worry about what people say about you when they think about you, all right? Stay in the right place. Stay in the right place. All right. I'm running out of time. I'll finish this up a little later on. I might go to my notes. Al, remind us that we stopped off at a good place. Verse 7. And now let me tell you how I'm starting to tie this all into Father's Day. My dad was a good dad. My dad was a provider. But my dad gave me my first beer. I think I probably told you that before. My mom gave me my first Bible. And when we get into next week's chapter, we're going to see some of the things, four things, five things, or whatever, that Boaz says to Ruth. In fact, we can skip there just a little bit, and I'm going to show you this. We're still going to start in verse 7, but oh man, I got a lot of notes on this. I think we might have covered them already, though. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, will you listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. And one of the points that I saw there when talking to another brother of mine is Ruth is considerably younger than Boaz. And so he refers to her as his daughter. And so then I started thinking, it's the Father's Day message. How can I use this to be a better dad? My dad was a good dad. He was a provider. But the only benchmark I had was my dad. So when I became a father, I used my dad as the example. I never saw Boaz as an example of the type of father that I was supposed to be. So when we woke up in the morning, the first thing out my dad's mouth was, hey, don't forget those chores. What are you going on? Blah, blah, blah. That's how we grew up. It was about the work. It was about the chores. It was about what you need to get ready to do today. I'm okay with that. I grew up like that. I understood where he was coming from. And I did the same thing with my kids. Where are you going? You dress like that. It was always about getting ready for school, getting ready for this, getting ready. As I'm looking at this story, trying to craft a Father's Day message out of this story, I'm realizing that I was not always Boaz as a dad. The first thing that he does when he comes down from Bethlehem and he talks to the reapers, he says, "The Lord be with you." The first thing out of his mouth is a blessing.
Bless you.
And when he talks to Ruth, he builds a relationship. My daughter, I need you to listen. Not just hear, but to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. And the work stuff is in there. But I've often gone to the world and work and duties before I said, I am your father. Love you. God bless you. Blah, blah, blah. So from all of this, and I have to go. I've got to go pick up the wife so we can get to church here. I thought about all of this, and I'm like, if I had known to do this, I would have been a different dad. If I had known to outline what we're going to study next week and just some of the stuff that he's doing right here, I would have been a different dad. So I went and followed the steps and showed up in Bethlehem today. Tell you what I did. Lord, I need you. Because here's how my Father's Day normally are. It's Father's Day. I'm going to get a crappy tie. Well, this year, Ruth did me good. She got me all new drawers.
Oh, TMI.
Yeah.
All new drawers.
That's nice. It is nice. Absolutely. Absolutely. I got the tidy whities. I got the little slip ones there. I got all new drawers.
Put the man there,
Luke. Got one of those Superman, huh? I got one of those too. But most Father's Day, I spend waiting because, come on, Dad, we'll never get the praise that they get on Mother's Day. We just don't.
You
Well, I don't. Now, anyway, the mothers get more. Maybe they deserve more, whatever. But I'll spend Father's Day just sitting back waiting to see whether those rascals are going to say anything to me, even remember that it's the day or whatever. And most times they do, but one or two of them might forget or whatever. And then I'm feeling some kind of way. Come on now. Dad's crying too. But we're okay, dads, because, you know, we're tough. We don't need it anyway. You know. So today I said, Lord, I need you because I think I'm tired. This is my Moab. Waiting until the end of the day. Probably ain't going to get no gifts or whatever, you know, but just waiting until the end of the day to see if all of the sheep have come back and said, have a happy Father's Day. And they hold me hostage. And then I feel some kind of little way when they don't come and do all of what I plan on them doing. And I decided I'm going to be free today. I'm going to be free. So I said to myself, Lord, I need you. Two, I repent. What am I repenting for? I'm repenting for celebrating this the way that I was celebrating. What's out the window? Am I okay?
Our truck paramedic.
Oh, okay.
The lights just went down the parking lot.
Praise the Lord. Just pray that somebody's going to be okay. And third, I changed my mind. I put my hope in Christ.
He's the best gift you ever gonna get.
And then four, Lord, what can I do that brings you glory through the power of your Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit allowed me to do something that I was never able to do before. Today I did not wait. I reached out to my kids and sent them a post and said, Happy Father's Day. Let me leave you with something that has been key to my life, and I hope it's going to be key to yours. And I ran through the four steps with them. Instead of me waiting for them to come to me, I did what Boaz did, and I came to the reapers.
Wow.
And I greeted them. The Lord be with you. Alright. I am out of time. We will pick this up at what verse, Al? Love you guys. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers.
Did you record this?
I did.